Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
All right, can we get back to the business of killing giants then?
The new Chief Defender and his friends.
And think about this. For some of you, it could be the last time you ever set foot in Trunel.
Have unfinished business in Ashby.
Metro reaches out her hands, and then we blink out of existence.
D-100.
But when they return,
there are two tunnels. One goes to the west, and then another one goes to the south.
The mysteries of the mountain only deepen.
Someone's been through here.
The adventure continues.
Oh my god!
Now.
What is going on, everybody? It's your old pal, Troy LaValle, coming to you from my home here in Westchester, where I will probably be for the next 4, 6, or even 9 months. What a time to be alive, am I right? I don't know how many of you caught my Facebook/YouTube/GCN Employee Lounge live stream I did yesterday, where I basically... it was basically a state of the niche, giving you the lowdown on how we're going to handle this pandemic, both as a small business and as human beings living in one of the epicenters of the COVID-19 virus. I think those videos are still up. I also posted a statement because I wanted to make sure I got all my thoughts out for everyone to check out. You know, I'm going to rehash a little bit of it here because I know not everybody checks social media, but obviously we're making some changes. We have to make some changes because according to the state government, we are a non-essential business. Now, I call bullshit on that. I think what we do is essential, but technically liquor is more essential than us. And let's be honest, we need both. So... you know, many of you know that our Glass Cannon live shows have been postponed, not indefinitely. Most of them have already found homes. New York show that was going to happen next fucking week, that's been put off until Halloween, which is also Skid's birthday, so that's going to be awesome. And the Milwaukee and Chicago show have found dates in late August. There's been no word about Portland and Seattle yet. You'll be the first, you'll be the second to know once we hear. I can't imagine those would happen, but hopefully, like everything else, they'll just be postponed to later in the year. So, you know, as I said on the stream, that's just one of the 5 shows that we do, the Strange Ion Show, the Glass Cannon Live Show. We have Echo Quest Super Dungeon. We have Raiders of the Lost Continent. We have this show you're listening to, our flagship, the Glass Cannon Podcast, and of course, Androids and Aliens. And so now that we can't go into the office, we had to really take a step back as a business and figure out how do we move on from this? How do we continue to do what it is we do, keep our business afloat, and keep you, our listeners, getting content in a time when content is desperately needed? When if we can make people laugh for a couple hours a week or cry, just have some sort of emotion that isn't abject fear, then that's just as important as anything else. And so we had to make some tough decisions. And as I said on the stream, I'm sure some of you are going to be hearing for this for the first time, but just remember, there's good news at the end of what I'm going to say. We're going to stop producing any of our current shows until we can get back into the studio recording face to face. There's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, I think what makes us so special, so different, is the energy that is created by being in the room with each other. You know, the reason you feel like you're a friend sitting at our table is because that's the energy that's created when we're in the room together. And that just cannot be replicated if we're sitting at home trying to do it remotely. And where we are right now in Giant Slayer, I mean, wait till you get to this end of this episode. Like, there's just too much going on. I can't imagine doing the end of book 5, beginning of book 6, the rest of the story, however long this, quarantine lasts, without being able to be there with each other. I mean, that's how this all started in people's apartments. And then we got this studio. It's just, I know the show will suffer because of it. And I'm not going to do that. And if I'm not going to do it for the GCP, I'm not going to do it for any of our shows. You know, Androids and Aliens, I'm not going to put those 9 people in a room together. That's just dangerous and irresponsible. And that show has been lit ever since we went live. And so Androids and Aliens is on a complete hiatus. Glass Cannon is going to be stopped for now. But again, wait, there's good news coming. And then we have 2 episodes of Echo Quest Super Dungeon in the can and 1 Raiders of the Lost Continent. Those will go on for the next 3 weeks. And then something else will happen. So let's talk about the something else. We've talked about the bad news. Let's talk about the good news. Good news is I need to keep producing content on this stream. I have to do it. Even though we're not going to do Glass Cannon right now, we're going to put that on hold. We're going to start a whole new story. We're going to record it remotely, and it's going to be the Glass Cannon 5. Me, Joe, Skid, Matthew, and Grant. We're going to live stream this show every Thursday night at 8 p.m., 2 hours live, and then it'll be a jumbo podcast the following week, right on this feed. So this feed is not going to go silent. We're going to have new content on there, and I am so excited about it. To me, it's a return to the original feeling of the beginning of the Giant Slayer campaign. All new characters, and I don't know. I'm pretty fired up about it. And then for our Patreon subscribers, we can't just not provide content on there. That's our lifeblood, our Patreon. So when the well runs dry in 3 weeks after the episodes that we already have recorded dry up, Skid is going to run Rise of the Rune Lords for us. I mean, I'm pretty fired up about this Thursday stream and the new show that you're going to be listening to on this RSS feed, but oh my God, Skid is running Rune Lords for us. I mean, I've wanted to play that for so long, I just assumed we would never get the chance to. But when it came down to figuring out what can we do, that is going to be exciting and different and something that people would just hear and lose their fucking minds about, and that's what came to me. I was like, Skid, do you want to run Rune Lords? And he was like, yup. And so that's what we're going to do. That'll start on Friday, April 17th, and it'll go for as long as this, you know, quarantine lasts. Hopefully it won't get that far into the campaign, because I want to get back playing Raiders and Echo Quest, and most importantly to me, my baby, my Giant Slayer. But that's what we're going to do for Patreon, and then it's going to just be constant new content here as well. I'm going to do some modules. We'll see how long it lasts. Again, hopefully not long, but in the meantime, we're trying to think, how can we provide content to you guys so you'll have something to take you away from all of this? So if you like watching us live every Thursday night, 8 p.m., twitch.tv/theglasscannon, we're going to be live on there. It's going to be in our homes, and we're working really hard to make sure the audio quality will be great and the video will be acceptable. But that podcast stream that you're going to get the following week is going to be at least 2 hours long, and Grant's going to work really hard to make it sound as good as anything we've put out there. And then, obviously, for Patreon, Skid's going to run Rise of the Rune Lords. I don't think I need to say anything else about that. That's going to be amazing! Now, you might think to yourself, well, you're going to do 2 new shows anyways. Why don't you just keep doing the content that you're already doing? Why can't I just hear Baron, Metra, Nestor, and Dalgrith right now if you're going to do it anyways? And it really comes down to the sort of volatile nature of the audio and the need to be in the room. It'll probably be fine. I think these streams are going to be great because there is a raw experimental feel to it when we're all hungry to perform. So I think what you're going to see on Thursday nights and what you're going to hear on the Glass Cannon feed are going to be well worth the price of admission. But there's always the chance that there might be some audio hiccups here and there. I'm not going to put that on the Giant Slayer feed. I've worked too hard. We've all worked too hard for too long to make sure our shows sound different than everyone else, and I'm not going to risk that. And the need to be in the room, it might be something you don't, not all of you get. You know what I mean? Like, you think to yourself, what you guys do, you can do it anywhere. And you just can't. Like, I know what's happening here at the end of book five, and it would just crush me to have to do that in my office while everyone else is 100 miles away. It just sucks. It sucks, and there's a chance that those episodes would be less than what I think they should be. I'm not going to do it, but I think what we are going to do is going to be a fun little side quest to keep the juices flowing. And the second we can get back in that studio recording this show, we will be there. I mean, the second I finished this video, our Patreon subscriptions were flying through the roof. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are just like, oh shit, I really want to hear Raiders. Finally, I have a reason to subscribe. But for the most part, it was people upping their pledge. The 5 to 10s, the 10s to 15s, to 25s. People pledging at the $100 tier when we don't even have rewards left at that tier. The generosity of GCP Nation, Glass Cannon Nation, the Nash, is ridiculous. And like I said on the stream, this represents, for Joe and I especially, our livelihood. And I just want you to know how much it means to us. I don't think I could ever find the words to express it. But what I can do is keep working hard to give you awesome content as much as possible during this weird, weird fucking time. Thank you for sticking with us so far. I promise you the best is yet to come. We're going to take a little side quest. Gotta check off all the side quest boxes before we can get back to Ash Peak. So please enjoy episode 252 in the meantime. It might be a little while before we come back, but fucking A, we will be back.
I was thinking about, I don't know, maybe I asked you this, Grant, forever ago. I doubt it. I don't even think it came up before we started the podcast, but I was thinking myself and creating like a fanfic in my head of what Baron did the day before Ruby's Hope knife ceremony. Like, how did you come to True Now? How long had you been there? Did you just roll into town that day and show up at the festival? Had you been there for a little while? I don't know if you ever told me this.
I like to think that he came in like on the back of a trading wagon, like he'd been kind of hitchhiking and making his way as he could with, you know, on foot and throughout and camping under the stars and stuff with a canteen and, you know, like black coffee grounds and waking up every morning and eating whatever hardtack or jerky he had left in his bag and doing like odd jobs along the way as he was traipsing across this kind of untamed territory where he could lose himself and not be followed by his parents because he wanted to get away from the Five Kings Mountains pretty far. So I like to think of him hopping off and just being kind of an ultimate opportunist and just kind of seeing this and being like lonely to some extent and wanting to meet people, but also like, as much as Joe said, or Dalgris said in the last episode about like how powerful the gun is and how powerful Baron is, like Baron knows very well, as is evidenced by pardoning Nestor, that he can't do this stuff by himself.
Right.
It's all only through the power of like a group in that that he could do that. He had no idea that the group he would find would be so powerful and continue to be replenished, but he knew that there is something that would happen from joining that silly tug of war ceremony that day.
Right.
And probably he probably pretended like he had been there for a week or not, but he probably like just hopped off a wagon right as that was starting.
So like ice cream social and hope knife ceremony in the commons. And you're like, oh, I should go check that out. Maybe I can make a new friend.
I'm imagining it like Baron, I guess in Lorik, Gormley, and maybe Gormley. Lorik was kind of there. Galabas was kind of already there. But Baron being the, like the season one, oh, for God's sakes, Westworld like the train music, like coming in on the train. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing every time. The music, like coming into town, seeing some of the people, whatever.
Right.
And James Marsden's character.
Yeah. James Marsden. Yeah. That was it. Yeah, the James Marsden character.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, that is so. Now I've got such a clear picture. Yeah, he goes to the killing grounds.
Oh yeah, that's the exact music too. You hear that music?
Gets a drink. And now there's a whole rock star rolling in town. Come check it out. I remember his name was Reb Clarendon, I think, was the bartender. I think it was Reb Clarendon. I'd have to look it back up, but he was the proprietor of the Killing Grounds. But yeah, so he rolls in, hits up the bar, because you know he likes the bottle. He brews beer. Sees a sign for the Killing Grounds.
It was very surprising.
Sorry.
It was amazing.
Shocked me.
Ask for another sarsaparilla. What do they do in this town? Well, there's open night ceremony. Check that out. And that's and now you're chief defender. In a very short time, you came there and changed the lives of so many people. Enough so that you've instilled enough confidence in them for them to vote you as chief defender. If she was Halgr of the Blackened Blades, you could be Baron of the Sharpened Gun.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I see little pins going out with a really sharp gun on the
pointy end. Gun. Yeah. We made a joke before we went on air that this whole episode should be Baron's first day in office, and it should be like an Aaron Sorkin
episode. It should be an episode of The West Wing.
Of The West Wing.
Just walking around the Ivory Hall.
9:45 a.m. Baron's Tuesday.
He's got his two aides is being handed papers. No, yes, no.
Joe's joke was really good.
He thought he was just going to, you know, split out and like head to the mountain.
It's a lot of paperwork.
Right. Now it's just like Aggret Staggered Star at his face. I need an answer on the Hope Spring draining requirements.
The drovers want an answer on their disability payments.
Got a photo op with a half ox at the fountain earlier, later on.
I feel like Nestor should be the press secretary.
There's a delegation here from last wall. There you're 12:30. It's like, God damn it! I just want to go back to the mountain and shoot giants with my gun.
And the whole thing is one walk and talk.
Right. Yeah.
It switches from
Baron talking to Aggret to Metra talking to Nestor as they walk by.
Yeah. Three Captain Zeta Jones zip by, having their own conversation. They follow them for a little bit.
It's like a Legion.
God.
So funny.
We're doing that, right?
We really should.
Really should.
The problem is you, like, we're joking, but you really don't have a lot of time to spend here. So if last episode ended with them cheering you on as the chief defender, this one, I think, starts now. You know, if the cheers are still echoing, chief defender, chief defender, chief defender, it's like all of a sudden all of those people start to wink out of that room. And you're still sitting on the throne, or not throne, but the chief defender's chair.
Emperor Baron Athrig.
Call me king. I rule over these lands.
Baron, the destroyer.
Oh, so good.
But that is a tale for another time.
We talked about how another one of my characters would have a very Conan-like...
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's right.
Well, imagine, like, all those people are out of the room now. They just fade out. But all that's left in the room is Baron sitting on the chief defender's chair, Metra, Dalgrith, and Nestor. What are the three of you doing while he's sitting on the chair in this tableau?
We're helping him with the paperwork, obviously.
Right. Sign here, sign here.
I think Metro is like, we must return to Ashpeak. We have unfinished business there.
I can't forget Jimma.
Or Thune.
We left them behind.
Dalgrith is kind of like, feels a little awkward about Nestor and the way everything went down. So he's just going to walk up to him and look up at him in the eye.
You might agree with that bow, and I think Baron made the right choice. I just wanted to say that it hurt me that you killed that dwarf that was a friend of Baron. And so I Well, I have my doubts. But the Storm Tyrant, I watched him kill 1,000 dwarves. So I got no problem with you, Nesta. Not anymore. As long as we're both going for the kill on that Storm Tyrant, you won't hear no trouble from me. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, Dalgreith, I think I've made clear how the level of respect that I have for you.
I couldn't be more clear.
Yeah, and
it's very low.
I know that. I know that.
Yes, Petra, it's very little. Made it very clear.
I didn't specify, but
it was clear in your tone.
It was clear. I think I made it clear multiple times over repeated instances, and I understand that you may have been held some anger or mistrust toward me, and I just want to say that I forgive you.
He blinks long and slow. Thank you, Nesta. That's big of you.
And Nesta pulls an apple out of his satchel and just sits in a chair. Yeah, just takes a big bite and starts eating.
All right, can we get back to the business of killing giants then?
So is this
Chief Defender?
Have we actually been gone from Ashpeak for 2 days?
No, one day.
This is the same day as the battle?
So you arrived. Nestor was apprehended. You went before the council. Oh, yeah, no, it has been 2 days because we said next day, and then you've had to stay another day. Yeah, so it's been 2 days.
Yeah, I think that's what Dalgreith said, that he was concerned about Jimmer because they'd left them 2 days now.
Surely he's dead.
Sure, but like...
Anthun.
I'm not operating under that assumption.
I was going to click Night's Rest on my hero lamp.
Two nights rest.
Two nights?
You get twice the spells.
Metro will extend her hands.
We must return, Chief Defender.
As a point of order before we leave, we do need to buy healing supplies.
We would have. I feel like we would have done that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So whatever else you want to do, we can say we did.
All right, perfect.
We need...
Yeah, what are you going to get?
The cure wand. Dalgreith, actually...
Baron's probably going to craft some more bullets.
Yeah, we gotta go over the cash that we got. I mean, unless we're going to, like... spend some hours, like, teleporting to the forge and resizing stuff and stuff like that?
I don't think we have time for that now.
Yeah, yeah. And you also would be worried that you are marked and you would bring danger on the...
to the forge.
Cathedral, yeah.
I mean, we have cash. We collected a lot of cash. I'm assuming we're just going to get a handful of wands.
Yeah.
A couple potions, maybe.
Two wands of Cure Light. I'm going to craft another 125 bullets.
I'm going to get... Well, it should be easy enough in town, because it really isn't that complicated of a thing. But I am going to get Dalgreith, because of this two-handed climbing thing, a... spring-loaded wrist sheath.
Ooh.
So it'll allow him to
cool
to sheath a dagger on a spring load so that he could grab it as a swift action.
Huh.
And so, it'll also allow you as a free action to say, are you talking to me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How much does that spring sheath cost?
It costs 5 gold pieces.
All right, I'm going to mark it on the sheet, and I expect that you're good for it.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing. I wish I had, like, a dagger that had Bane or something on it. Maybe one day I can get a dagger with Bane.
I actually have 2 spring sheaths. Metro has one on each wrist.
Oh, that's dope.
Oh, for, like, wands, right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Very cool.
That's cool.
They don't work for short swords, but I just... they will work well if he has to jump on that round. He could swift action and then plunge and at least get a sneak attack in one round.
I love the idea.
If only you've taken quick draw.
I know. But, I mean, there's so many other feats.
I love the idea of going to Minderhall's Forge just to resize your short sword into a dagger so that it would fit inside of the sheath. Just like a tiny little pinprick.
Actually, can we do that?
You just change the damage dice on.
Yeah, you just make it a 1d4 small short sword.
That'd be cool as hell if Troy would allow it.
Wait, what is it?
Resizing his short sword
into a small short sword
to a dagger.
To a dagger.
And if we overdo it, it turns into a letter opener.
It would. Troy would never.
We went
allow
too
it.
Small.
It would
very
work.
Powerful letter opener. We need to get back though. So
we gotta go back.
Next rest.
The sheath can hold one forearm length item. So
whose
wood
forearm?
Is a small short sword, the length of a dwarf's forearm.
Try.
Well, would it be a dwarven short sword?
What?
The dwarves presumably have smaller... Like, a bastard sword for a dwarf isn't going to be the same length as a hand and a half for a human.
Yeah,
medium creatures.
Really?
They're all medium creatures, yeah, man. All
right. I mean, that doesn't...
Stop hating on dwarves, dude.
That doesn't make sense based on their actual height, but okay.
It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
The rule of this fantasy land is really confusing.
Yeah,
to
they
me.
Do. They there's some there's mechanics that discourage that because it's like it's not balanced like a dagger. It's like it's not built to be that size,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and be wielded
sure,
like
but,
a dagger,
right? But yeah, with a different build. If I hadn't loved like the short sword idea, it's like if you had magical bane daggers, the difference in my damage would be like 2 points. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. From the short sword, it'd be, like, no difference.
Yeah.
I just should have thought of that before. But now I have at least an option when it comes to those rounds where I can close fast and jump on.
Are you using a magical dagger?
No, just short swords.
Why don't you just buy a magical dagger?
Because, again, like, it doesn't do much for me. It'd give me +1 to hit and damage. But, you know, it's... We can do it, but that's 2,000 gold for +1 to hit and damage. I get the bulk of the damage. I get 7d6 from the sneak attack, you know? So, like, it's 7d6 if it's a magical dagger or not.
Right.
Curious. So, you're pretty much ready to go?
Yeah, where are we leaping back to?
That is an excellent question. Can we go back to the map on
back
the
to the old
map-a-roo? Chuan
Ooh,
zone?
Man, it's been a few apps, huh?
It has.
It's been since 249. Let's go back. We got to go back. I don't even know where you guys are. Oh, there you are. You went back to the room with the pews. Pew, 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 pew.
That's what's just the map you called up. I don't know. Did I spend time to memorize that location before we jumped out?
Yes, I believe you did.
I believe you did,
said
yeah.
You all wanted right. to take. And if I didn't say, this room and the rooms around it are have a lot more going on in them than the early rooms when you're in Ash Peak, so you could take some time to study them. They have markings that would allow them to be more than viewed casually.
Great.
But, if you want to go back there, just say the word and roll a D100, unless there's any other business you want to do before you leave True Now. And think about this. For some of you, maybe even Chief Defender Baron Ashpeak of the Sharpened Gun, could be the last time you ever set foot in Trina. Anything you need to do?
Yeah, before, like, as we're gathering up to teleport, like, Nestor pulls Baron aside. Says, listen, mate, like, we haven't really gotten a chance to talk since what happened. First of all, I wanted to sincerely thank you for sparing my life and accepting the will of the gods, as it were. Give me that pardon. I appreciate that. And second, I want to congratulate you for being made ruler of this place, you know, whatever that entails. Seems like, you know, you'd be trustworthy, you'd be good at it. And third, I know that I trust you. I know that you are a man of your word. You've never given anyone any reason to doubt that. But I also know that you cannot trust me. You cannot trust me. I know that I've given you very valid reasons not to trust me. So you will probably always be looking over your shoulder, like not sure, like, should I fall asleep? Is he going to do this or that, you know? So I want to be clear and I want to be truthful with you because I respect you and I think I owe it to you. I do intend one day to kill you. That is my intention. But I want you also to know that my chief concern is this storm tyrant. And I know that I cannot live any kind of a life unless he is killed.
I also know that you are one of the greatest living weapons in the face of Galarian. And I know, I heavily suspect, that this Storm Tyrant cannot be defeated without you. On the other hand, one of the other greatest living weapons in the face of Galarian is me. So I think you need me too. So I hope, despite what I've told you, that you can at least trust me to refrain until we have completed this mission. After that happens, we can resolve our differences then. But I will promise you, as far as that goes, that I will wait. And I'll do everything that I can to make sure that we are successful.
Baron slowly reaches into his duster and pulls out a cigarillo. Puts it in his mouth. He looks Nestor up and down, top to bottom, and narrows his eyes, and they meet together. Two hunters, predatory eyes, locking. Crosses his left foot over his right knee. Pulls a match out and drags it across the heel of his boot. And takes in a slow drag from the cigarillo.
Classic. God, you're like a bad guy in Pinocchio.
You know something, Nestor? If you weren't such a murderous son of a bitch, I'd really like you. I think you feel the same about me. And I think we know what happened today. Neither of us are afraid of each other. And both of us are ready to do what it takes to take down that bastard. Until that day happens, whatever happens after that can wait. He stands up. Kind of hops off the throne because it's a little too tall for his feet. Mm-hmm. But he seems like as tall as Nestor as he walks down, and he clanks down with his spurs. The entire hallway is quiet. He walks right up to Nestor and looks up to him and sticks out his hand. Put her there, partner.
Nestor meets his gaze for a second.
Studies target.
He studies target. And then slowly reaches his hand out and shakes it.
He pulls him in closer. Grabs him. Tell me what the fuck this is. And he points at the spider on the end of his gun.
It's what it seems to be. I found it. Thought you could use it.
And then Baron slowly pulls the gun back down and holsters it and clicks in the brass button on the side, and he lets go of his hand. Can I roll a sense motive on that?
Yeah.
You are so paranoid about this spider.
I don't like it, man. I don't like it. He don't give no gifts.
Don't give no gifts.
20.
Give no gifts. Mister don't give no gifts.
It sounds like you're all saying he don't give no gifts. G-I-F.
Right. Yeah.
Or G-I-F.
Right.
G-I-F.
He don't send no funny pictures.
He ain't sending no memes.
I was thinking more like... I was thinking of the scene from There Will Be Blood where he just goes, I'm your brother from another mother. 27.
27.
Well, I will say, yeah. Nestor's bluff is 22. That's his flat score.
Okay.
Yeah. He's
so
inscrutable.
I won't say whether he's lying or not or what I rolled, if I did roll, but he seems to be telling the truth.
Yeah, and at this point, the other thing about this is that Baron made one set of compromises and a calculated decision based off of the dangers facing us at the time. And even though Nestor's done this terrible thing, not only have the gods ruled, but the ante has been up so high and the stakes are so high for all of humanity that even if he was sabotaging him or he didn't trust him in this moment, he'd probably still take him with him. Yeah. But at this moment...
Yeah, I hope like he's made it clear that he and he kind of said the same thing to Metra, is that He needs to do this. And also, it's like something, it's his vengefulness that he can't let this go now. Like this, the storm tyrant has turned him into a hunted animal, and he cannot abide that. And so he, even if it didn't mean him, you know, just being able to live his life to get rid of him, he would still hunt him down with his last breath, just to take revenge on making him feel that way. So hopefully, like he said, like you can at least trust in that.
I'm going to vouch for Nestor as well. I believe if his motives align with ours, then for the time being, we are all allies. Also, you know what's deadlier than both of you combined? Lung disease.
She has got the point there. You do smoke a lot of those things, Baron.
It's been a while.
Let me ask you. Is it the new job? Is it stressing you out?
Stressing me out.
I don't think you can be seen to be smoking so many of those things out of your public.
No, that's true. Nightmare.
Yeah, you have to be a role model now.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
You can't pull a Barkley.
Let me ask you a question, Esther. After the storm tyrant's dead, and maybe after you kill me as well, what do you see life being like for you when you're not on the run from something?
I don't know. There are a few things I like. I like gambling. Really enjoy gambling. Haven't had a chance to do that for a while. And I really like killing people and things. Mostly people. So, I don't know. I'd try to find some line of work that would combine those two interests. But I also,
you like the Eye of Abendale?
Yeah, no. Yeah, maybe I could go back there. But then also, I don't like being hunted and chased by the law. People like you. So, you know, that would have to be factored in too.
I imagine that gets very tiring.
Yeah, it would get very exhausting. I just want to relax and enjoy my life.
Maybe you could take a vacation and just kind of think through things.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had a chance to think about any of this, you know, to really process all these things that have happened. It's only been a matter of months.
Take a couple weeks off of murdering.
Been so busy, we haven't even had a weekend. So I would love to have a proper holiday and just sort of meditate, marinate with all this, and then I could give you an answer. Of course, either way, either you kill me and then it won't be an issue, or I'll kill you and I couldn't talk to you. So,
well, I'll reiterate that for the moment the slate is clean, and I found myself to be greatly satisfied and grow in my own power and satisfaction as I changed myself. And I encourage you to do the same. Whether or not you listen to me is your own choice.
No, all right, fair enough. We shall see.
While these two are talking, I'm assuming that this is not in front of us, right?
No, this is like
a private conversation.
Yeah.
This is a A and B conversation, and you can see your way out of it.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Burn! Baron and Nestor are now best friends. And, we'll open up a bed and breakfast.
Yeah. And air B and C. And you can see your way out of our Airbnb.
Our Airbnb.
Mail.
Wasting time. Jimmer could be dead by now. We should go.
Yeah, but we should go anyway. Regardless, we should go.
Metra reaches out her hands.
Make it so, number one.
Don't call me that.
And then we blink out of existence.
D100.
Shit. 83.
Oh, okay.
We consult the old chart here.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
On target.
Gerald Ford, dead today at the census age of 83.
Those are so good.
But the census.
The census.
Wait, say, do it again. The age census? Yes. Gerald Ford, dead today at the age of 83. All right, can you do it again and just add the word senseless?
Yeah.
Gerald Ford, dead today at the senseless age of 83.
What is that from?
Classic.
I think it's Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey. Yeah,
and it's a sketch like they're trying to get. He's Tom Brokaw about to go on vacation.
They think
just in case Gerald Ford dies while he's on vacation, they go through all the possible ways that he could die. So Gerald Ford, attacked by a pack of wild wolves, killed today at the age of 30. Now, how likely is that to happen?
And they're like, hey, we're not the one who wanted to take 2 weeks in Barbados.
We need to cover all our bases.
Yeah. It's Robert Smigel is the off-camera voice, right?
Oh, that's really funny.
That's good.
But you're back. You're back in this chapel where you had a brutal battle with these fire giant priests that were also pretty badass in battle. Like they were going back and forth between melee and casting spells, channeling negative energy, and one of them ran and yelled, "The heroes of Ash Peak have arrived," or something like that. I can't remember what he yelled. But you were able to defeat him, and then you winked out and came back 2 days later now. The bodies of the giants are gone.
Where are the bodies? What did they do with them?
It's been 2 days.
Who's been through here?
Surely they bury their dead or burn them.
Someone's been through here.
Can we do an immediate perception? Mm-hmm. See if we hear anything, see anything.
Ooh, natural 20. 40.
Whoa. Whoa, Nestor. Nice.
33.
40,
33.
35.
25.
Ooh. All right, so all of you will eventually see this. Dalgrith will be the slowest to pick up on it, but you see that people have come in here.
It's 25.
And taken the bodies. That's not a 40. Have taken the bodies out of here. They don't look like they were dragged. They look like they were lifted. And so there are footprints leading out back in the direction of the room where you fought the Helgigas. But that's all you see.
Can we do some sort of perception, look for secret doors in this room?
Sure. Baron, you've got the stone cutting, so go ahead and roll with stone cutting. Cunning. I would say cutting.
24.
Stone cunning, 24. You don't see anything.
Great.
All right, let's move fast.
So 26, technically. I forgot to add the 2 for stone cutting.
No, you still haven't.
All right.
Strike team Delta.
So should we go back into this room where we fought the
Helgigas.
The Helgigas. And
then there's tunnels, right?
So yeah.
Tunnels to the south and west.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. As Dalgrith passes by that
Trap.
It goes off.
Oh my god.
Oh, no.
He does a perception for the trap before walking through the trap.
Alright, roll that perception. Otherwise I'm blasting you with
Come
this.
Come on, Dalgrith, get it.
There we go.
There you go.
36.
Alright, yeah, you see the
trap. So you see
the trap's back up. Everyone stop.
That would have been cheap, but I would totally burst you if you missed that perception. Yeah, so you see that the trap has been reset.
Do you want to disable it, or would you like me to give it a go?
To be honest, Nestor, stand back and watch your handiwork.
Fair enough.
Disarmament's never been my strong.
This is a magical trap.
37.
37, you're able to disable this glyph of warding.
Well done, Nestor. All right, let's move forward. To the open tunnels to the south.
There are two tunnels. One goes to the west, and then another one goes to the south. If you're looking towards the west, you see that about 20 feet in, it ends in a doorway.
Oh.
And then the southern one just goes on into the darkness.
Shall we do the west and then the south?
That sounds like a plan to me, Matthew. Yep.
Would anyone like to check for traps? Please.
With pleasure.
Dalgraith will walk up to the door and just sort of like run his hands along the seam carefully, looking for traps. 25.
No. You don't see any traps.
I got a 26, if that helps.
Also, no signs of traps.
Looks good to me. Look good to you.
Yeah, don't see nothing. Nothing dangerous yet.
All right. Dalgraith will attempt to open it to see if it's locked, essentially.
Okay.
Is it locked?
It appears to be unlocked.
He will stealthily open the door.
Okay.
Attempt to quietly open the door. 42.
40. Ooh. Two.
That's the fifth, the fourth or fifth. Perception. You just roll.
You stealthily open the door quietly, and you see, or you hear. Yes, it's all in giant. Oh, it sounds like a woman's voice. And a male voice.
Perception to hear it?
Yeah.
33.
It must be a grand service. Something to really show our might. Yes. I want to honor those who have fallen. Mm. It will be a true testament to his light.
He'll ease back in. Quietly bring the door. Not totally closed, but just like up against the door jamb. And then turn around.
Couple of voices inside. Someone of some power giving orders about a ceremony or some sort of event. A show of power.
It's possibly some sort of funerary arrangement given all the damage we've caused.
Could be, but they did say they wanted to do it as a show of might. Something for the light. To show the light.
Mm.
I think I translated that right, but I might be a bit off.
Shows of might happen to be our specialty.
That's right. We could show them a real show of might right now.
Shall we go in?
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's go invisible first.
I thought I might also render us in... impenetrable to critical hits.
What?
What? Did you level up between sessions?
No, we've done this before. It's particulate form.
Yeah, but it's been a while since you've cast it.
Well, we've always been spread apart by the time the battle starts.
Right.
We're, yeah, immune to criticals, sneak attacks, and other forms of precision damage. Plus, you get fast healing one.
And this this is round by round.
Yeah, it's a round by round. So is greater invisibility, if that's what you're asking for.
Yeah, so I think we should just like... start counting our rounds.
Yeah.
Did you see any other exits, or was this the only entryway into this room, Dalgraith?
I saw nothing. I just opened it enough to hear voices.
And I don't think...
not sure what the layout looks like.
We've also not made it, like, super clear. As much as the giants have yelled stuff out, especially now that Baron has the gloves of whispering and Nestor's on the team, we make, like, no silence. We drop in Batman style.
Make no noise.
Kill everyone. Yeah. Completely silent.
We make no silence.
We make no silence. That's our motto. We make no silence.
We make no silence.
Sharp guns make no silence.
Sharp guns make no silence.
I mean, if we really want to.
Wow, that's a great. That's like a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western title or something.
Sharp guns make no silence.
I mean, if we want to, I really want to
the Japanese translation of a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western.
Yeah,
I really want to see a poster of that.
I mean, if we want to be really mean to Troy, maybe not. Maybe it's not that mean at all. I could do greater invisibility on both Dalgraith and Nestor. That would make all of your sneak attacks, unless they have C invisibility.
Right. Or should we save one of those spell slots? It's up to you. Because this is our first battle of the day, and it seems like they can't get out, and we should have an okay
seems
time.
Seems like we got a leader in there, though. Yeah. Someone calling the shots.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, greater invisibility would be pretty sweet.
Man. Unless they have C invisibility, in which case.
Right. But there's that seems like there's more than one creature in there. So, yeah. I mean, odds are at least maybe.
We've encountered no giants with C invisibility.
Right. As far as we know.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, usually it's linked to some sort of caster who can cast the invisibility.
Right. But at least it wouldn't be an innate ability like it was with those dragons. That really...
That was really...
That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was really irksome.
That was bad business.
All right. You want to, I say let's do it. I think I agree with Joe based on that conversation. I think we've got a leader here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right. First things first, I'm going to do a mirror image on myself.
Okay.
All right. So
that's minutes.
Okay, that's minutes.
Let me just roll my D4 here.
Minutes are good.
But then we got to start counting rounds.
How many metras?
I rolled a 1.
Ooh.
So 5 metras.
Okay.
Wow.
5 extra metras.
Yes, 5 extra metras.
Okay. And then you want to cast Particulate Form, which lasts for how many rounds?
14 rounds.
14 rounds. Okay. So I'll figure out how many are left when we get in there. You should be fine.
Well, our plan, what's our plan? Like cast, and then burst into the room.
Full rush.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast Weapon of Awe and Long Shot on myself.
Weapon of Awe and Long Shot. Okay.
7 minutes each.
Great.
All right.
So I think we'll line ourselves up and then go cast round 1, cast round 2, cast round 3, and then in round 3 we burst into the room.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Place yourself on the map. You can only move 2 at a time, and then 2-2. So who's going to be the first 2 through the door, and then who are going to be the other 2?
Dogrith definitely first through the door. Whatever else you guys want to do. No weapon in hand.
I'll be behind everybody so I can touch everybody.
Yeah, and Nestor will be behind Dalgraith, but next to Metra. So it's like in the second rank.
Okay, Baron?
Front rank.
Dwarves strike in the
team.
Front.
Strike team Delta.
Dwarves in the front, yeah. Party in the back. There we go.
There's the ep title.
You burst through the door. You see 2 giants talking, and they turn and look at you immediately. One of them looks just like the giants you were fighting in the chapel. The other one is a towering fire giant clad completely in steel. Fiery hair raining down from her head and a crown on top.
Whoa.
It's the queen!
Roll for initiative.
Oh my god! It's the queen!
She looks amazing.
Wow.
All right, come on. Dalgrith, time is now. You got to get that initiative.
Oh, man. This room is covered in religious iconography of the fire giant god that you've seen throughout this level. Decorations more expected in a church than a bedchamber, but this is very clearly a bedchamber. The most prominent feature is a large, sturdy bed piled high with furs. Nearby sits a wardrobe, a polished steel mirror, a dressing table, a chair, a heavy curtain on one wall partially obscures a broad alcove. Let's talk about initiative! Dalgrith.
23
for Dalgrith. Metra.
24
for Metra. Nestor Coyne.
18 for Nestor Coyne.
18 for Nestor. And Baron.
19.
Oh, no!
19.
Would you roll on the
4.
Oh.
Perhaps we'll get a surprise round?
Perhaps.
Yes. It is a surprise round, but one of you would have had to use that to open the door. So I will say, I'll say you open the door for free, and you start your surprise round now. A move or a standard? First up, Metra.
Do you want to say me casting the last...
Yes, that's how we've been doing it so far.
Round.
Yeah, and your surprise round... You'll
so I go invisible, particular form on my surprise round.
I'm fine with
invisible,
that.
Invisible, open the door, particular form.
Yeah.
Dalgrith.
Dalgrith will click his heels together.
Haste.
And haste himself.
Okay.
He will then invisibly move 40 feet into the room. That will be his action.
Okay. Swiftly hastes himself and invisibly moves into the room. It is now Baron's turn.
Baron has Weapon of Awe and Longshot cast right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so...
What are the round times on those?
7 minutes.
I'll say you had to use one of these in your surprise round, to keep you honest, like I did Metra.
All right, so I won't have Weapon of Awe on, and now that I see the crown on this creature, Baron is worried, because typically the higher up someone has been, and any time we fought anyone, they're more powerful. So instead of casting Wrath, he will cast Channel Vigor on himself.
Okay.
And we'll go into Haste.
I'm fine with that. Nestor.
Nestor is going to pull an arrow out of his quiver, shoom, and fire it at the regular fire giant.
Okay. Flat-footed.
Flat-footed. Does not have a chance to study target yet, but that's a natural 20.
Oh! It's the hell geekers all over again.
Critical threat.
Just so amazing. Just so redonk.
Two
amazing.
Confirm. And a natty 15 on the confirm.
Oh my god. The total is in the 30s, right?
Yes.
Yes, that is a confirm.
Which one are you shooting?
Not the queen, but
not
the other
queen,
one.
Not the queen,
the regular one.
The check out the pawn on this queen. I was looking at it.
So cool. It's so good. The fiery hair is amazing. And her armor is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good pawn. All right. Let's go to Jonathan from North Austin, Texas. We got a Texan, Grant.
All right, don't disappoint me.
Jonathan from North Austin, Texas. Bazooka Joe.
Ooh.
As your projectile flies through the air towards your target, the ambient magic in the area triples its speed, causing it to slam into your target with immense force. Triple damage!
Oh!
And the target is pushed back 10 feet and is prone.
Whoa!
That's amazing.
Shit. Reflex save makes it double damage and not prone. So okay. It gets a reflex save, but it's a giant to make it double damage and just 10-foot push.
Okay, I'll say it has to be a natural 20 in order to make this, and I didn't roll it.
Oh my god, so it's quadruple damage. And wow. 10 feet back in
front. Oh, because he's normally timed.
Because he's triple.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on!
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Jonathan!
So that's 66 points of regular damage and 5 points of electricity.
5 points of electricity.
Oh, wait. No. And hold on. Plus.
It can't be right.
Plus 12 points of sneak damage.
Plus 12 points of sneak attack damage. And he's pushed back right up against the queen and prone.
Does he knock the queen down?
No, but he would, where he goes into her space, she'll take 1d6 damage. We'll say like it's a wall. She takes 1 point of damage. So bumps into her and falls down, and he is now prone in front of perhaps his queen. That is the end of the surprise round. Now it is the real first round, and it is Metra's turn.
Yeah, come on, Metra! Metra!
Can I do a knowledge check on the queen? I don't have knowledge local.
You have to start with knowledge local.
What's the light situation like in this room?
It's lit.
It's fully lit?
Fully lit, yep. All the rooms so far in this part of the mountain have been fully lit.
Okay, well then, first things first, will the giant that's lying down please roll a... Oh, you know what? Everybody's hasted. Let's do that.
Okay.
Nice.
Just haste everybody. Is Dalgrith,
including Dalgrith?
Yeah.
Is he within reach? Yeah.
It's 30 feet
from each other. So as long
and
as
I'm 40 feet away.
Oh, even from Baron?
Yeah, 40 feet from Baron.
So, you're hasted already, though, because of your boots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got to spend that round after round, but it's fine. It's totally fine.
So swift action for you to do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Metra haste, everyone except Dalgrith. You want to move it all?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, please.
And
it's
then
a free action, actually.
I will use the Quicken Metamagic Rod to cast Ray of Enfeeblement on the prone giant.
Ooh. Okay. What's the save?
I got to hit you first.
Okay. Against touch.
Against touch.
Come on, fumble.
24 against touch.
That is, that is a hit.
Okay, ooh. And then it is a fortitude save.
Fortitude save. Come on. 32.
Okay. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Was it actually close at all with 24?
I don't know.
Did you add 4 for bonus to its AC?
Yeah, no, he's... He's a big target.
So you make the save, so it's for half damage, but I rolled max damage.
So this is strength damage.
This is strength damage. So you take you take 6 points of a 6 point strength penalty.
Whoa!
Oh my!
Wow!
God! That is
that's full on blitzkrieg right now.
All right, 6 points of strength damage. Okay, that's gonna really slow him down. Do you want to move?
No, I'll stay where I am.
You'll stay where you are. Okay, now it is Dalgrith's turn. Dalgrith, you're invisible. Are you still hasted, or was that just for that first round there?
I will do it again.
Okay, free action.
Yep, free action, haste again. I get 10 uses of that a day with the Boots of Speed. I will immediately, where I'm standing, appear. So Dalgrith will appear in the square that I'm currently standing on. And then I will then run at the queen and attempt to jump on her.
Wow. Yes. You're invisible, so you're not going to provoke. They haven't even acted yet, so you're going to attempt to jump on the queen.
On the queen. He's just thinking his mind. He's like, you take down the queen and the game's over. I know this one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, baby.
Man. Sometimes it's hard to do the math. 48.
Oh, my 48 God. 48 against CMD.
48 against CMD.
Dizzle.
Nice. On the queen, he will then spring load a dagger into his hand and stab once at the queen. That is a 28.
28
to hit.
28 against flat-footed is a miss.
Oof.
Oof.
Whoa. Oof.
Ugh.
Okay.
We got a toughie.
She's clad in steel.
Right, so he hits the steel, does not penetrate through.
Turn your blade aside.
It is Baron's turn.
Baron is going to stride forward about 20 feet in order to get within 30 feet, which is the range of his pistol with long shot attached to it, and he's going to pull both triggers on his gun at the same time.
Wow.
Which will impart a -4 penalty on both attacks, but let's see if I can nail it.
Yikes.
Guy prone. I'm hoping a 27 and a 23 will hit.
Wait, why'd you roll 2d20s?
Because I pulled both triggers on my gun.
So
they're
both
two separate attacks.
Against flat footed?
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit. Both of them. All hit.
Right.
Separate attacks. But yes. They both hit. Yeah.
Pull both.
And isn't it like if one misfires, it doesn't matter? Like you both have to misfire? I thought this happened before. You brought this up.
That's actually with the deed I have, which allows me to use all of it as a full round. It's kind of like Vital Strike, but for a gunslinger. 63 points of damage.
Oh my God. One already took like 80.
Yeah.
And of course it is now Nestor's. Sorry.
The other question I have, knowledge local on the queen.
Okay.
Natural one. I'm gonna take a gamble though, based off of my notes. I'm gonna look the queen in the eyes and say in giant, "Where is Tytarian?" Which I have written down as the king of Ashpeak in my notes.
Her eyes widen. She looks at you with the fire flaming around her head, and she looks at you like, how dare you say that name, but also like, how do you know that name as well? That's the look she's giving you. It's Nestor's turn.
Nestor is, he's going to do a knowledge local on her just to see. 27.
All right, so we're dealing with someone here covered in religious iconography. Looks like she probably has some spellcasting ability. In terms of, what are you looking for, like weaknesses possibly?
Or just anything useful, anything that you deem particularly useful to us in this situation.
Okay.
I.e. trying to kill them.
Right. She should be vulnerable to cold.
Aha. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Excellent. Excellent. Insider knowledge.
That's really it.
All right. So Nestor
is a
tough cookie.
Nestor. Oh, and I forgot to tell you that I already bought it on my sheet, but when he was in
true now. That was one thing that he did buy, was this special quiver, but I'll tell you about that after the fight.
Oh, I'm quivering with delight.
It's nice. Okay, so he is going to do study target against the prone regular giant and fire off a many-shot attack against it. That is 32 against...
That is a hit.
Nice. And that is 71 points of damage.
Oh, my. He's gone.
It has to be.
Comes in. Woo! And just
nice nest.
Between the crit, the big hit from double barrel gun, and that, he is dead.
Nice.
Is that your turn?
No. Now I'm going to... So wait, did I... I'm sorry. Did I study target on him this round? Was that what happened?
I believe so.
Last
round you hadn't.
Okay. So he is going to turn his attentions to the queen. Yeah, he has not studied her yet. But he is going to take the remainder of his attacks against her. First one is a 33 to hit.
33 hits.
All right. And... That's 42 points of damage.
Okay.
Second attack against her. That is 29.
29 misses.
Okay. And final attack with the haste. Ooh, natty 18. That is a 31. 31 to hit.
31 is a hit.
Oh. Nice. Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Hitting on that last attack is so sweet.
Very, like, bonus. That's 26 points of damage on her.
26 points of damage on her. It is her turn. She sees...
Oh, wait, sorry. 26 plus...
All of those attacks are invisible, so they're all...
Yeah, attack. Yeah. That is 39 points of damage total.
Another 39?
No, another 13. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so lit her up with those,
lit her
those
up.
Extra attacks there. It's her turn to go. She sees her fallen priest hit the ground. She's still eyes widened at Baron for mentioning Titarian's name. She can't see you.
But there is a visible Dogruth several squares back.
Yeah, just in case you forgot to copy, paste. I wish I could just copy my own character and paste him.
Where, like, where Baron is?
Where he was before, right here. He started that round.
All right, so sort of in the...
So 25, 30 feet away from her.
Entrance, yeah. Okay. But she can feel you.
Absolutely.
On your back, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, she's going to go ahead and swing at you. With power attack. And try to kill you.
No.
In one round.
No.
That is my goal here.
Oh, really? You're going to do every attack at the old Deathbringer.
You got 50% miss chance, though, on each attack.
That is correct.
Power attack on.
You can't crit, which is nice.
Yeah, you can't crit.
That's nice to know.
Can't crit.
I mean, you can crit. It just won't deal any damage.
I mean, you could roll a natural 20.
It won't do any bonus damage.
Yeah.
It does normal damage.
Okay. Let's see what happens here. Okay. Past the concealment, that's going to be a 32 to hit.
Miss.
Miss on the first attack. Second attack. Passed on the concealment, and that is going to be a 33 to hit.
Miss.
Miss on the second.
Oh, man.
Third attack. And the numbers just keep going down. 70 on the concealment and missed on the third attack.
Oh, yeah. So awesome.
And then final one, natural 2 and a 78 on the concealment.
Well, you hit all four concealments.
All four concealments I hit.
That's pretty good, Troy.
And just miss. Not great.
I just want to... I was wrong before. You all have fast healing 2, not fast healing 1.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Well, that changes. That turns the tide.
It is Metra's turn.
All right. Metra is going to... Yeah, all right. She's going to step into the room. She needs to get within... Let me just check this. Within 60 feet of the queen. So let me just do a measure. I don't think she's going to have to move very far. Okay, yeah, she steps basically into the doorway.
Okay.
And
enters the room.
And then she's going to do the same. She's going to do a Ray of Enfeeblement on the queen.
Wow.
Ray of Enfeeblement on the queen. Okay.
That's going to be a 19 against touch.
That is a hit. And okay. Now,
I'm assuming you automatically pass your fortitude save.
Yeah, 39.
Okay.
Wow.
So that is going to be 4 points of strength damage.
That's incredible.
That's halved. It would have been eight.
That's
eight?
Amazing.
Oh, man. Wow, 4 points of strength damage.
Insane.
And you moved to get there, yes?
Yes, I moved. And yeah, and that will be Metra's turn.
All right, Dalgrith, you felt her just like scrambling to try and find you on her back and just swing. And they all should have hit. And you can just tell the damage it would have done had she connected. But she didn't. And now you are on her back. What do you want to do?
Sorry, it's going to take more than that, love.
He's going to actually drop the dagger because his first miss, he felt, was well struck. This armor is not penetrable. So he needs to get his best chance here. So he's going to drop his dagger and draw out his Giant's Bane short sword.
Okay.
Give himself the best possible chance to at least get a good strike. And then try to plunge it into her neck. That is a 32.
Oh, yeah.
32 is a hit.
There we go, Dalgrith. There we go, Deathbringer. Come on. Oh, there. Ooh.
Pretty all right.
Wow.
Several ones.
Yeah. That is 41 points of damage.
Okay, 41.
That's all I can do this round.
Okay.
Because he had to draw.
He had to draw to strike down, but you were still able to.
But I got that Giant Bane off.
Find a little opening in her armor to get flesh. It is Baron's turn. Baron, you don't know where Dalgrith is, but you have an idea because you see her wince out in pain, but there's nothing on her back that you can see.
Baron is going to swift action call down a Judgment of Sacred Protection on himself as he gets closer. He's going to move 10 feet closer within range of his gun, and he is going to fire twice again. The green die in my hand will be for the first shot. The black die will be for the second shot.
Okay.
A 15 and a critical threat!
Oh, my God! Oh, no. God.
Critical threat.
It's over.
Critical threat.
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Well, you got to confirm it, which is obvious. Confirm unless you natural one zony.
Total of a 16 against touch AC.
That is a confirmed crit.
Nice. All right, Brian from Sunrise, Florida. Doesn't that
Hi, Brian.
Nice. Hi, Brian. Do unto others.
Oh.
You have a montage of memories flash through your head, stealing your resolve and granting you an inner power. Target takes double damage, plus half the total amount of damage you've taken this combat, if any.
So no attack.
So you haven't taken any damage this combat. Okay, but it's still double damage.
Times
so
four damage.
Four times damage.
Four, baby.
I do like that crit, though. Nice job
there,
Brian.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do unto others. That's cool.
I like that.
99 points of damage.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God. Points of damage. You hit her with that, and she's just like, stop!
Yeah, I knew it. She's ready to rat him out.
The problem is that's just for the shot that critically hit. I pulled both triggers at the same time.
That's right.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
35 points of damage on the other shot.
35 points of damage on the other shot. She buckles down to her knees and just like blood squirting out of her neck where Dalgrith had stabbed in. Blood spurting out of the holes in her arm and she's like, stop!
Please
stop! Stop! And she's like coughing up blood out of her mouth.
This is horrible!
And she just looks up to the sky and she's like, what have I done this time, my prince? What have I done to deserve your wrath again in this lifetime? Whatever it may be, I am truly sorry.
I beg for my life under your watchful eye. Spits more blood. And promise to spend the rest of my days atoning for whatever sin or sins have caused you to frown upon me once more. My faith and my dedication have never wavered, my prince. Please, I beg you, show me the way.
And we'll see you next week.
What is happening?
I don't know. What
is it
happening?
A surrender? Is she going to explode in divine wrath?
Bullets everywhere.
Show me the way.
Giant grenade.
Amazing!
The Glass Cannon Podcast is a Glass Cannon Network production and is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Giant Slayer is copyright 2015. Giant Slayer and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.
Welcome to a journey into the heart of the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest and rowdiest celebration of medieval fantasy. But what lurks beneath the facade of tights and turkey legs? Well, we dove deep into the empire to uncover a history marred by mystery and misconduct, murders, assaults, and other crimes that tarnish its legacy. This isn't just a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale of power, fantasy, and the consequences that follow when they all collide. Search for Crime Waves Renaissance Texas on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
In the 1970s, John Todd burst onto the evangelical scene with a shocking tale. He claimed to be a former witch, involved in a then unheard of secret organization called the Illuminati, and urged Christians to prepare for a violent world takeover.
First of all, the number one weapon in everybody's home should be a 12-gauge pump shotgun.
Hear the amazing story of one of the originators of the modern-day conspiracy theory. From Magnificent Noise and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Cover Up, the Conspiracy Tapes.